Sorry, Bobby. Now, I want you to notice that the guys are outnumbered still 3-2 up here. So your assignment is to sing well, sing loud, and don't just mouth the words. The songs I picked, of course, have the theme of Thanksgiving, and I hope we can sing from a grateful heart. You know what the word for grateful is in the New Testament? Anybody know? If you're Roman Catholic, it would be familiar. Eucharisto. It's the word where we get Eucharist from. When you celebrate the Eucharist, all right, you're actually having a thanksgiving service for the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. It's a time of thanksgiving. So with that, let's thank the Lord. Chip?
Good evening, church. God is good. And all the time. So from Ezra. When the builders laid the foundations of the temple of the Lord, the priests in their vestments and with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, took their places to praise the Lord as prescribed by David, king of Israel. With praise and thanksgiving they sang to the Lord. He is good. His love toward Israel endures forever. And all the people gave a great shout of praise to the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. will praise God's name in song and glorify him with thanksgiving.
He knows my name.
Lord Jesus, your love warms me like a soft wool blanket on a cold winter day. Your grace washes over me like a cool spring on a warm summer morning. That you died for me in agony fills me with awe and wonder. Who am I that you would do such a thing? I am a leaf in the wind, a speck of dust in the desert. Yet you have shown your love for me, and you want me to be with you in eternity. Thank you, Lord, for being you.
Let me, I'm just going to throw a question out to you. I want to do this almost like I would do a round table at Dr. Fuji's church, and I've done it here several times. But why don't I do this? Let's read the passage together. I titled this Be Thankful. It's obvious, right? So let's read this. Are you ready? Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now, let's talk about peace for a minute, right? It says, I'm not at the beginning. Let me get to the beginning. I'm going to sit down because my back is hurting me. It said, let the peace of Christ rule in you, in your hearts. What kind of peace are we talking about here? You have any idea? The Greek word is arene, which is the translation from the Hebrew of shalom, okay? And we're talking about the peace of Christ. How is this just a peace where everything is going well? Is this a peace where you can have anytime, anywhere? What do you think this peace is talking about? A settled relationship with Christ. That has to be the source of peace for us all, okay? A settled relationship with Christ means simply this, that you have come to terms that we have come to terms that we're sinners. We need a Savior. We can't save ourselves. No amount of good works, excuse me, no amount of doing good stuff will ever repay God for our sin. That repayment is so vast and infinite, there was only one who could do that for us. And that was the perfect Lamb of God. The one who was fully human, fully God, and the one who went to the cross in love for us to die our death and suffer our penalty, the full wrath of God on the cross. Now, so let me ask you a question. And this is a hard question for people to answer, and I see this all the time, especially in ministry. It's easy to have peace when things are going okay. It's not so easy when things aren't going real well. And yet the Scripture commands us, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. That word rule means umpire. Let it referee or umpire everything we do, both in good times or bad times. I'll ask you a question. Give me honest answers. Is it possible then to have peace even through tragedy? Sure. I mean, it may not happen instantly, but as we walk through it with God and in the power of the Spirit and under the authority of the Word, it is possible to have peace in tragedy. All right? This flies in the face of our culture, by the way, because our culture doesn't want us to have peace. I would challenge you to look at the commercials on television, if you could look at them, because most of them are pornography now. But if you look at the commercials on television, their whole thing is that you can't have peace unless you buy their product, unless you look like this, unless you do this. And that was so foreign in the culture back then that Jesus is saying you can have perfect peace now no matter what. Let me just tell you that Paul wrote this from prison. And Paul wrote it in perfect peace. He was fine. He wasn't happy, but he wrote it in perfect peace. Can you be peaceful and unhappy? Yes, no, jury out? Of course you can. But it's hard to us for us to understand that. And we need to understand that. The fact of the matter is, you know, listen, I hope I don't offend anybody tonight, but those lines I saw at the marijuana places, these people are looking for peace in all the wrong places. The lines I saw coming out of the liquor store, they're looking for peace in all the wrong places. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't drink or anything like that. I am concerned about using marijuana. That's a different story. But sometimes we look for peace in relationships. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with looking for peace in relationships? Okay, what does that mean? You can't bank on it. They're always going to let you down. Leave the toilet seat up. Yeah, pick up, yeah. Pick up your underwear. Yeah. But there are some people who will say, if I just had the right job, I would have peace. If I, you know, if I had the right spouse or the right girlfriend or boyfriend, you know, I'd have peace. Baloney. We find out that those things fail because we're humans and we fail one another. Right? What does it mean to let the peace of God rule in our hearts? This has been something, honestly, I've been struggling with for the last month on a personal level, only because my blood pressure reflected it, okay? I never had a problem like that before, and I was, you know, and I'm still working through it. I was so anxious about the state of the church. I was so anxious about a lot of things that I lost the peace that God intends for me. All right? And it can happen so easily. Don't be conformed or pressed in to the mold of this world, but be transformed by what? All right? So you know what's been helping me work out of it slowly, and I'm not there yet, is my deep study in Revelation. All right? Now look at this. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace. The church is supposed to be a peaceful place. Now, it doesn't mean we're not going to have problems. It doesn't mean we're not going to rub each other the wrong way sometimes. But overall, it should be a place where we're willing to ask forgiveness. We're willing to you know, shake hands, get along with one another. You know, personally, as your pastor, I don't care who you vote for. Vote. That's all. That's all I care about. You know, you vote. Will I break bread with you? Absolutely. I don't need to know who you vote for. You follow what I'm saying? You know, we let this stuff consume us to a point where it becomes unhealthy. So let the peace of Christ rule, be the umpire in your heart. That also means if we're doing that under the influence of the Holy Spirit, He will prod us when we get out of line, when we get out of God's will. He'll be the referee. You know, He said, you're out of bounds. Come back in. Come back. We better listen. Because if we don't listen, the verbal warning doesn't work, then there'll be a penalty flag. And if the penalty flag doesn't work, then there'll be suspension. You know? I mean, we have to understand that God wants what's best for us. And when we don't let the peace of God rule in our hearts, be the referee in all we do, then we're going to go out of bounds very fast and be ineffectual for the kingdom. This next one is a command also. Be thankful. I was explaining a little bit before that the word thankful here is Eucharist. Again, for those of you with any knowledge of the Greek or even Roman Catholic background, Eucharist is what the Catholics call the wafer for communion, right? And there's a reason why they call it that, because communion is supposed to be a celebration of Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving of what? thanksgiving for the fact that the Son of God loved me so much he died for me. I didn't deserve that. And then 3 days later, he rose again from the dead. It's also symbolic of the gospel, because the gospel is an invitation to invite Christ where? Into your heart. Okay? Our thankfulness has to be, again, rooted, just like our peace, in our relationship with Christ. Also, we're going to find out there's you know what a vertical component is, goes up and down, right, with God? There's a horizontal component here, too. That's why he says, since as members of one body, we're called to peace. If our relationship is settled with God, then we can settle our relationships with one another. If our relationships with one another aren't settled, then we have no peace with God. So it works in that way. So tell me, what does it mean to be Eucharistos, or thankful? What does it mean? Does anybody want to take a shot at it? What's it mean? It's not a trick question. I think that's excellent. I'd be still and know he is God. I have a flat tire. Be still and know he's God. Someone called me, told me I was an idiot. Or maybe you were told you were number one on the road, right? Be still and know that I am God. And be thankful for anything. Can we be thankful for the bad times? We ought to be. It's hard, right? Be thankful, for me, is probably one level below love your enemies. Because humanly speaking, it's difficult. This is where the Spirit and the Word comes in, correct? And again, in my most recent incident, laying in an emergency room a couple of weeks back, watching, ironically, the election results, and the nurse came in and said, "That's why your blood pressure is up." I said, "No, I actually don't even care about it." And she was funny. But laying there and, kind of saying, and Doc knows, he took my blood pressure a couple of times. For whatever reason, the Lord spared me from a stroke. That's how high it was. There has to be a reason for it. And I'm thankful. If I had a stroke, then I'd have to be thankful too. Through him, I'd have to find that. This kind of thinking is so foreign to our culture now. And it's a shame. It really is a shame. Be thankful. Let me go on with you. Then it says, these are commands, by the way. This is not optional. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly. What's the message of Christ? The good news, the gospel. It's supposed to dwell among us richly. What does that look like practically? This is not a trick question either. What it looks like practically is that we're supposed to be people who are developing in discipleship through the Word of God, letting the Spirit of God help us to apply what we learn from the inside out, to develop what's called a biblical worldview. Did you ever hear that term, worldview? All right? The culture does not have a biblical worldview. It has never had a biblical worldview. It will never have a biblical worldview. The churches in America that have a biblical worldview are in the minority by far, okay? A biblical worldview could only come about if we let the Word of God, the gospel of God, dwell richly in us, learn it, memorize it. How many of you think you're too old to memorize? You're not. Okay, Doc. You're older than me. But you got a good memory. You remember where the scalpel goes all the time, right? Dwell richly among you so you can teach. Listen, not everybody's called to be a teacher, right? But what this is saying is when we get together for a worship service, by the way, this is a picture of a worship service. This is what a worship service ought to be. We can get together and encourage one another where the opportunity is. We can learn from one another. That's what teaching is, right? Learning one another. I really love the interaction of the Tuesday night men's group. You know, we learn from one another. Same thing with the round table. We learn from one another. And then it has to translate into where if we see something going on that, you know, may not be healthy or right for a friend or, you know, a fellow believer, then privately we can go to them and say, hey, look, I'm concerned here. Can we talk about this? And we have to go with the right spirit, the right heart, not a judgmental heart. Scripture is very specific about that because it says, look, clear the log in your eye before you go and talk to somebody else about the speck in theirs. But look at the way we can learn and admonish with all wisdom. Wisdom only comes through God, through the Holy Spirit. Through what? Psalms. I hope, and you don't have to say anything now, but I hope as you get older, for some of us the journey's shorter, but I hope as you get older you learn to read Psalms every day. They're so precious and so applicable to our circumstances. And memorize them, right? What's probably the most famous psalm? I'm sorry? Yeah, the Lord is my shepherd. What a great one to memorize, right? The Lord is my shepherd. What does that mean? He's going to take care of me. May not be the way I want, but he's going to take care of me, right? I shall not want, right? And the psalms are so precious. Hymns. And this is primarily because of honestly, Sharon's influence. In my early Christian years, I memorized hymns. Right? Just like memorizing praise songs. There is some great doctrine in the hymns, okay? Yeah. There's some not so great doctrine in some of the hymns. They're not all great, okay? But the ones that are good are worth memorizing, worth singing, because they can teach us great biblical truths. This is how, one way we can show our thankfulness. If you don't like singing, suck it up. Because guess what you're going to be doing? All right? Songs from the Spirit. What does that mean? Anybody want to take a shot at that? It's very simple. Songs from the Spirit means that you're going to sing and praise God as the Spirit leads you. Okay? But look at the parameters here. Singing to God with what? Gratitude in your hearts. Now, that doesn't just apply to singing. If I can take the liberty, and if Sharon has no objection, it applies to musicians also who play instruments. It applies to people who have any part in the service, whether it's prayer, whether it's the collection, whether it's ushering. How you ush is important, okay? We have to do it with gratitude to the Lord, gratefulness. You know, listen, you know, and again, as you get older, I guess you realize that you're on the down slope of things, but I'm just glad God gave me another day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. Gratitude in your hearts. It doesn't mean you wear a plastic smile. It doesn't mean you have the face of a famous preacher who never stops smiling. It means that from the inside out, you reflect gratitude and thankfulness to the God who saved you, who saved me. That's why, whether you're at the workplace, you can serve God with gratitude, no matter how horrible the job might be. Right? Not too distant future, Kristen's going to learn how to change diapers to the glory of God. And then Bobby will be learning, right? Our own James works in ShopRite, and he's the guy who makes it possible that your cart is available for you. Do it for the glory of God. It's an important job, right? Tommy paints the crooked lines down the roads, right? It's an important job. You do it with gratitude in your heart. And if you want to get locked up, you see, Butch, he knows the ins and outs of jail cells. We have an electrical worker here. We have a Wawa worker here. This is all important stuff. You do it for the glory of God. We have hospice here. We have Doc here. Doc's got a great picture in his house. It is a picture of a surgeon with, I guess it's Christ over your shoulder, guiding you, right? You do it for the glory of God. You know, Janine runs a business. It's not easy to run a business, and yet she does it, and she does it well, right? Joey, who's hibernating in there, you know, works for the government, and he does it for the glory of God. And Andrew, we can't forget Andrew. Andrew works in Walmart, and when you're in there for Christmas time, thank him, because one of the reasons why you're there is because he's working there, and he does good work. So you understand where I'm coming from with this, right? With gratitude, saying, I forget where I was the other day, and somebody, it was probably something like Roy Rogers. I think, yeah, Mary Lou was there with me. And I heard what I thought was a little kid singing. I'm trying to figure out what this little kid is. So I had to go up to the counter and get a bag. And I asked the woman at the counter, I said, "Who's singing?" And it was one of the other women. And I said, "She's actually got a beautiful voice that she always sang." She says she always sings when she works. She never complains. She always sings. I thought that was great. Let me finish this out for you. And here's where it comes into application. Whatever you do, whatever, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through him. Now, I hate doing this, but I have to, because I take this seriously, and I'm sure you do too. But sometimes we're very careless with our words, aren't we? Sometimes we use the Lord's name in vain. Sometimes words come out of our mouths that shouldn't come out of our mouths. And I always question, especially the men in men's group. See, we don't talk about the wives, I'm sorry, you know. But I caution the men in men's group, be careful what comes out of your mouth, because it is a direct product of what's in your heart. Always has been, always will be. And we have to be careful of our speech. Now, and I'm not talking about just swear words. You know, sarcasm is another thing. You know, how we answer somebody. I mean, all those things. How we use our words. The one who says sticks and stones could break my bones, but words will never hurt me, that's a big lie. Words hurt, and they hurt big time. So we have to be careful. And whatever we do, listen, if you're in a job and you don't like it for whatever reason, they're not paying you enough, you just don't like the work, Stop complaining about it. Pray about it. Look for another job while you got a job. Makes a big difference. Look for a job while you got a job. Secure a job, and then you could leave the job you don't like. Does that make sense? Too many people get rambunctious and they say, I just quit. It's the worst thing you can do. The fact of the matter is, for those of us who call us Christians, how we handle even a job we don't like will reflect in our own testimony of how we view God. Does that make sense? Right? Any other observations about this passage? I mean, I'm open. Anyone? Don't be silent. I'm sitting down. So you go. Yeah, I can't fall. Yeah, I can, but, you know. Anything else impress you? Any questions before we leave it? Yeah. It's excellent to memorize. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Yes. That's right. Yeah. Beware, please. I'll tell you this as a pastor. Beware of gossip. Okay? When you talk about another person and they're not there, doesn't matter what you say, whether it's true or not, it's gossip. Gabish? The thing about gossip is it never stays where it originates. It will get back to the person. All right? We got to be careful about that, because, you know, there are some people who say, hey, you got to pray for Pastor Lou. You know? Well, you got me. Okay. Well, I appreciate the prayer, but tell me about it. You know, tell me why you're praying. We're very careful with the prayer chain, by the way, if you haven't noticed. We won't put down prayer chain requests, first of all, without the permission of the one it's about. Second of all, we try to guard any gossip in that we don't have to give out all the facts, okay? It's nobody's business. It's nobody's business. So we try to, in a lot of churches, prayer chains turn out to be gossip chains, and we want to avoid that. So, some good words to live by. So as you're watching football tomorrow, and if your team messes up, watch the words that come out of your mouth. Or if the turkey gets overdone, there's always lasagna, right? By the way, the Harvest Buffet is closed tomorrow. I know that because I was there tonight, okay? ShopRite is open. Wow. Till 4? What about Walmart? Is Walmart open tomorrow? Well, good. These people deserve a day off. They really do. And listen, when there's occasion to thank people, thank them. Thank them for what they do. If they served in the military, thank you thank them for their service. We have to bring civility and courtesy back, because it is severely lacking. And if you meet somebody who has a different worldview than yours or a different political bent than yours, love them anyhow. Make sense? Okay. I'm going to ask the singing people to come back. I'm trying to figure out, Kristen, as you get closer to your date, if you're going to become a little bit more baritone or...
I'm not
We're going to do two songs in closing. I'll ask Chip to introduce them.
Would you please stand if you're able? Jesus, have sent my angel to you, a testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And they let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. Mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from the heavens, from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors.
For coming. Happy Thanksgiving. If you're traveling tomorrow, please be safe. And on Sunday's Communion Sunday. And we're going to be going back to Revelation and the two witnesses, which has a direct bearing on Communion Sunday, believe it or not. I think you'll find it interesting. And then week after that, you'll be singing some more, because we'll be having a cantata, right? I got my dates straight. And then we're off and running to Christmas. So please be careful tomorrow. Don't eat too much. I'll do that for us. And I hope to see you soon. Let's pray. Father, thank you for those who are here. We pray for those who are not able to be here tonight because of physical issues. Pray in particular for Gloria, that fever clear up. And Father, we want to see her back home again. And so, Father, would you dismiss us, watch over us as we go to our destination, and we give you all the thanks and praise. And all God's people said,
amen.
God bless you. Have a great night.